Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Neither your brother nor yourself can be attacked alone, but neither can accept a miracle instead without the other one being blessed by it and healed of all pain. Reason, like love, would reassure you and your brother as you seek not to frighten yourselves and each other. The power to heal is given unto you. So it says in A Course in Miracles. And I am Joanne Buckner, the host of Beauty Shop for the Soul. Welcome, welcome. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a wonderful program whose purpose is to facilitate the inward journey for anyone who is desiring to discover more of their true essence. Beauty Shop for the Soul parallels the process that one undergoes at a traditional beauty shop. In the traditional beauty shop, you go to have a new hairdo, and they assess your head and your hair, your scalp, not your head, but your hair and your scalp, and tell you what they find. But in Beauty Shop for the Soul, you as the individual would be making a decision to assess the way you look at things, according to the way your life has been unfolding. And I'm certain that there are many of you out there who have wonderful lives unfolding. But in the context of infinity, there's so much more available to you. You've only just begun. And so in order to expand and grow and unfold, it becomes necessary to do a self-assessment, to look at how you think, and remember in the process of that, that your body, your physical, mental, and emotional bodies, and you have all of them, they eavesdrop on exactly what you think and what you say, and then respond by corresponding. So you get to look at your individualized use and expression of a universal mind and universal laws, and remember, our belief becomes a law by which we live until we neutralize the law. And we can do that by discovering more of your true self. So in Beauty Shop for the Soul, the assessment is first, and then you get to cleanse, just as in the traditional beauty shop, you get rid of that no longer serves you and make space for the true you, the real you. So back to A Course in Miracles, a wonderful spiritual journey that is available to all of us. And so the Course in Miracles also says that you can be shown which doors are open. That happens when you've made the decision to do the assessment. Often we thought the doors were closed and you could not go through them safely or without someone else supporting this journey. And while there are other people that support us on our journey, when we decide to get our bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine circuits to work, doors just seem to open automatically. And, of course, it's not automatic by us. It is the presence and power of this infinite intelligence that is indwelling each of us that opens the doors. that closes other doors that no longer serve us. And so closed doors usually come from a sense of judgment, where we have thought that someone else, for whatever reason, was not in alignment with your truth. And while it may be true that they're not in alignment with your truth, what about their truth? It takes a lifetime to discover the journey and the purpose for which we've come in this lifetime. So today, I want to talk about some people who refuse to believe or even think, much less accept, that a door could be actually closed to them for any reason, no matter what the circumstances of their life presented. They looked at life as an open door. And so one of the people that I want to talk to you about who had such a tremendous opportunity to allow the universe to just open wide the doors to life. This young man, Ben, was his name. At 14 years old, he started high school, just like most 14-year-old students around the U.S. And on his first day of school, Ben crossed the campus among a group of other 14-year-old freshmen, and no one imagined, at least not many, that the young man that walked in their midst had a secret. And this secret was that Ben himself had no eyes. So how could that be that he could cross the campus and no one know that Ben had no eyes? Well, the amazing thing about him is Ben was born sighted, but at the age of 2, they discovered that Ben had cancer in both eyes. And the prognosis was very grim. And so there was a recommendation made to remove both of Ben's eyes in order to save his life. And so that happened to Ben. And so this child, not yet 3 years old, woke up in recovery from surgery, realizing that he could not see. But Ben had an amazing mother, with a tremendous love for her son and a concern for how he might live his life. And so when Ben said to his mom, "Mom, I can't see," his mother very lovingly and gently took little Ben's hands and placed them on her face, on her face, and said, "Yes, you can. You can see with your hands. Can you see my face? Touch it." So you can see with your hands. And then she took her hands in his hands and put them under his nostrils and said, "You can smell. You can now see with your nose." And one by one, she taught Ben, encouraged Ben, inspired Ben to consider that sight was not just in the eyes. She didn't use those words. She just very wisely chose to show Ben how he could actually see life. And Ben began to respond immediately to his mother's coaching and to her encouragement and her inspiration and the information that she was giving him. And so Ben, by age 5, and I don't know if it was by accident, but Ben made a clicking sound. And when Ben made the clicking sound, he discovered that the sound would bounce off of things in his environment. And this allowed him to discover and recognize the things in his environment. And so Ben could miraculously do things. Not only could he walk across the campus later without seeing eye dog or without a cane, Ben also could, without seeing the backboard, shoot basketballs and sink them into the basket. Ben could ride his bicycle with his feet on the handlebars. Ben could rollerblade. There were so many physical activities that Ben indulged in, just like the average kid who had eyes. And all the time, Ben was clicking his way through the world. How marvelous is that? Ben participated in karate, combat in karate, amazingly without eyes, and could hurriedly ascend and descend the stairwell in his home. And guess what? There's more. Ben could do and did have great fun with pillow fights with his family and his friends and could clearly hit the mark. How amazing is that? That Ben could trust the universe, trust his mom, trust his lack of visual sight, and know that he could live in a world, that he could live in a world without eyes and function as effectively as anyone else. And what they came to discover about Ben was that he was one of the few, I'll say millions of people on the planet, who could function from what they call sonar sound or echolation. Ben could tell whether a fence that he walked by was wooden or metal. He could recognize a trash can. There were so many things that Ben could do. And so how good is that? What is it in your life that you decided that you couldn't do with two eyes and two hands and two ears and with all the other wonderful gifts that you have been given? And so, as it says in the Course in Miracles, neither you nor your brother can be attacked alone. So when we come to these conclusions about our potential and our possibilities, it's simply because we have made a decision based upon a lack of information and perhaps without even inspiration. But inspiration is everywhere present. When we turn away from the illusions of the world and tap into the infinite, fathomless root of our being, there awaits us marvelous gifts such as what Ben Underwood tapped into at the age of two and carried through for the rest of his life. And unfortunately, I have to say that Ben lived a wonderful life, but it was a short life. And during that time, you could have seen him, and you can still see clips of Ben on YouTube, but he was on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, the Oprah Winfrey Show, and many other shows. So he has inspired people from around the world, and so did and does his mom still use that. And there's a foundation for this young man. Ben Underwood is his name. So how foolish is it to make a decision that affects your entire life based on a lack of information, based on a lack of affirmation? And sometimes affirmation is from the inside out before it goes from the outside in. And I want to just say to anyone who just tuned in, this is Beauty Shop for the Soul. And Beauty Shop for the Soul is a five-step program of transformation where you can begin an inward journey. And if you want to explore that, push number one on your phone, and we'll talk about it. I'll bring you on in just a moment here. And so as we look at these wonderful opportunities for us, no matter what, we know that nothing is impossible when we recognize that I of myself do nothing. It is the divine spirit and presence within us that does the work. I'm Joanne Buckner, the founder of Beauty Shop for the Soul. So call your friends, tell them to tune in, and let's explore exactly what is unfolding in the garden of their lives. What thing have you thought to be impossible? And by the way, did you know that Oxford and Cambridge both have decided, based upon the many seeming impossible things that people have done, they have removed the words can't and impossible from their dictionary? And with that, I'm going to bring on, it's a caller from the...
You muted it.
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? 702? Prefix 528, you're on the air. Well, I'm not sure what's happening. I hear sound, and I'm not sure if there's some technical difficulty. So if you're hearing me,
I pressed one. No, just leave it. That's her. I want to talk to her. Oh, then you got to get back into the numbers.
Well,
here.
Stop here. Stop here. It. Something happened.
Okay. Tell me, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Just listen. You should be able to hear it out here. Get a hold of it just right, I think.
Wow. You know, you may have to hang up and dial again because the connection is not really clear at all. I apologize for that.
Hold it. Right. Yeah, the minute you move it, something happens. I don't know. Let's see.
Wow. I wish I knew exactly what to do about it. I don't. But continue. You sound like, your voice sounds like it's becoming more clear.
It's true, Ann.
It's not?
Let's see.
I'm going to.
Let's see. Let's try it again.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. I promise I wouldn't get out of it. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't get it. She comes and goes. What do you want to do?
I want to get in the
hang up and dial the number again and see if we get a clearer perception and connection. And in the meantime, I'll just continue talking as I look for your number to show up again. Would that be okay with you?
Okay. Do you mind if I get up?
No,
and
I really want to
elevate my legs. I'm freezing. I have the air on.
I know, but I can't put it back on. Oh,
okay.
I thought it'd be easy if you could get into the chair.
Okay.
I'm going to just continue on with this, and you can, if you're hearing clearly, listen on the line, listen to it, or you may hang up and down.
This is my... I'm loving Sophia.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Now you guys know. Now they're all messed up. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
so we're just
going
to continue on with Beauty Shop for the Soul. This is one of those opportunities where we have to know that every student is an art. So even online.
I have to lock the wheelchair.
I know what you have to do, but you need to get in your stuff that you're holding.
Okay.
Then you don't have anything to take over there with you. See, you're used to doing it all by yourself.
Okay.
That's what's wrong.
Okay.
See, you wouldn't have dropped these.
They were on the table. I don't know what I dropped. You're on my lap. Now you get all that stuff on your chair.
No, I need to sit on the ice.
Okay.
It could even be a call that was not supposed to connect up here and now. So I'm just going to move on with this, and I'm going to see. I'm just claiming the order and organization. This is where we get the cleansing and purification. I was talking about the grief and perception. And so in regards to the story that I... Okay, so I need you to do not disturb the other caller's ability to listen and as well as yours.
Well, my phone's got to be there. You heard it. I'm not so bad.
Okay. So I want to talk for a minute about reason and perception. Never forget that the world of the sightless. I just shared a story about Ben Underwood, whose eyes were removed before age 3 because he had cancer. And so I want to say, again, never forget that the world of the sightless. they have to see, imagine what they're seeing, and then imagine what it really looks like, even though it's unknown to them. They must infer what can be seen from the evidence forever that is indirect to them. And then they get to reconstruct the inferences as they stumble and fall because of what they are not able to see. But they recognize at a different vibrational frequency as they walk unharmed through doorways that were thought to be closed. And so it is with you when you do not see. You take your cues from inferences that are incorrect, that are incongruent with who you really are. And so sometimes as you begin to stumble, recognize that it is only an alert. It is only to remind you that you have gone in the wrong direction, and all you need do is turn around in the same way that when you're geographically traveling from one location to another. I'm calling in from Las Vegas, Nevada, and hypothetically, if I were going to Los Angeles, California from here, driving, Barstow is a halfway point. However, as I'm driving, if I see a sign that says Mesquite is north of here of Las Vegas, where Barstow is south of here. The sign that says Mesquite is a clear indication that I would be going the wrong direction if my destination is intended to be Los Angeles. And so the same thing is true on a mental, emotional, and spiritual realm. When we begin to stumble or even fall, there's not an issue unless you decide to stay down. The issue, the opportunity is to recognize that your destination is the opposite direction in which you're headed, and all you have to do when it is safe is turn around and head back in the other opposite direction. Now, that may be sometimes a bit frustrating, but that's part of the process. It is that energy and essence that we incur through the frustration that delays the timely arrival at an intended destination or journey. So we know that now, according to the neuroscientists, sound and thoughts and emotions affect us biochemically at a cellular level and prepares us for an incident that is not even likely to occur. You know, the thing you fear the most rarely ever happens. And so when we become disturbed, upset, angry, fearful, et cetera, it sends a message to the hypothalamus that it is not safe in here. And if it's not safe, what must you do? You must prepare yourself to fight or run. And if your body gets a message sent to the hypothalamus that you must either fight or run, then all the blood in your body gets redirected from the tissues and cells, from the heart, from the brain, to the limbs, so that you can actually move yourself out of the way of danger. And so while you're moving out of the way of danger, what is happening to your center for creativity? What is happening to the potential and possibility for you to make clear and wise decisions that are going to affect you potentially for the rest of your entire life? You know that in the Native American community, they make decisions that will be affecting not only the individual but the family, the tribe, the clan for seven generations down the road. Well, the same thing is true of us. How many of you out there are mothers? And as a mother with young children, pretty much in this hemisphere of the world, we're trained to make the children first. And so you do 100%. How wonderful is that, we think, to put the children totally and completely first. And so with 18 years or so of training of putting everything first, every dime you have, every dollar you have, all the time you have, is directed to the children. And though it seems the right thing to do during their infancy and as toddlers and as youth, we are actually training these children that they are more important than we are. And so how surprising then when these same children grow up to be 18 and 19-year-old near adults and starting to have lives of their own, and somehow they still think that they are the most important ones. And where we as mothers have sort of missed our cue is that we were the ones that did the training. And they are acting only in accordance with the training that they have been given, that they have experienced. And so just like tithing your time in a sacred center or in a church, wherever you are, 10% goes off the top before anything else. So all of you mothers who are just starting out with newborns and with toddlers, 10% of that, whatever it is that you are doing with your child, take it off and put it on yourself. The child will love you for it later. You'll love you for it. You'll love your child more for it because they will be recognizing that you are as important as them. And to get back to how people have realized that there are really are no closed doors in this consciousness that we're talking about here. Now, remember that we're not talking the physical door, because the physical aspect of us is not the greater part of us. The greater part is a part that you cannot touch, you cannot see. And this is a place where all things are possible. And you know that in every sacred text they talk about, you know, the unseen form. We live in a unified field of awareness, and so every place around us, we get to step out on space, which just means moving out of your comfort zone and into this place where, although you've never been before, you trust, and it is your faith that makes you whole. There's an organization in this country, in the United States of America. It's called MFPA, and it is the Mouth and Foot Artists of America. And these are people that were born with no arms or no legs, in some cases, neither arms nor legs. Sometimes this condition or the circumstances have occurred through an accident, such as one young man who was 14 and flying a kite, and his kite got entangled in some wires, and in his attempt to rescue his kite, there were some live wires, and this young kid was electrocuted. They're not totally. There was like over 12,000 volts of energy into his body, and it paralyzed his arm. He became a participant in the Mouth and Foot artist. They're painters. These images can be seen in museums around the world. I understand that there are over 80 countries around the world where they have people participating with no arms or with no feet, or in one case, a woman born with one limb out of four. And all of these people recognize that all of life is an open door. How good is that? And how foolish is it to make a decision that affects the long-term seasons of your life? And the decision that you made is without complete information. And remember, in the context of eternity and infinity, all information is incomplete because no one has it all, or we wouldn't be in this unified field of awareness that stretches on into infinity. No beginning, no end. So what we learn to do, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, is get our bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine circuit to work. Listen to that. Get our bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine circuit to work. When we're busy trying to take care of these issues ourselves, we actually get in the way of this infinite creative intelligence that is everywhere present, permeating all of creation. You know, there's a poem and it says, God sleeps in the rock. God dreams in the plant. God stirs in the animal and awakens in man. God has awakened in each of us as a part of creation. The us being the human being, the highest vibrational frequency, and we're all like radio broadcasting stations. that whatever we're thinking, your body is eavesdropping on everything that you think and everything that you say and then radiating that out in the same way that years ago when television first became popular and you had a dial-in number, if you didn't have that dial clearly on a station, you'd get a lot of static. And so the programs could not be clearly heard and seen. Well, the same thing happens to the program of your life. If we are not making ourselves a clear and receptive channel, then there's a lot of static there. And the only way that the universe can operate is through, it needs a vehicle of expression in the same way that a seed meets the soil. The universe, or spirit, or God, whatever it is that you call it, recognizing that there is a presence and power in the universe that's greater than you are, and you can use it. When you have that realization, it will take away from you the frustration, the need to direct and control, which is based upon if you begin to explore, which is what we do in Beauty Shop for the Soul, go beyond the thought, go beneath and underneath the thought. And you keep going underneath, underneath until you hit earth. That's what Deanne Underwood's mother did. She realized that even though her son had the seeming misfortune of having both eyes removed, that he could still see the world. He just had to see it from a different perspective. And that's what took Ben on this tremendous journey of life and will take anyone else who chooses to get their bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine circuits to work. So in these mouth and foot painters of America, there are many, many awesome images and paintings. I recommend that you go online and look at it. You might want to purchase this because the whole purpose behind this is to provide a vehicle for financial opportunities for these people to sustain themselves as they move through this journey of life without the limbs that the average person has. There are many others. Not all of the people born without limbs turned out to be painters. One such person was a very, very interesting woman who became, she was born without arms. Her name was Jessica. And so Jessica was, I think it was Jessica. Let me just hold up on that name. The one I want to share with you is one that was born without arms and became the first pilot, licensed pilot in this country to fly a plane with no arms. Imagine that. How did she do it? With her feet. She's flying the plane using one foot and leg to handle the controls. It is an amazing opportunity. And so there are many others. She also was the first person in the history of Taekwondo to get a, to become a black belt. So here's a woman born with no arms who became the first female pilot to become licensed, flying with no arms, and the same woman becomes the first person to tap into that center of creativity that's been implanted in each and every one of us. It is everywhere present all the time as we turn away from the illusions of the world into that deep, deep, fathomless root of our being. There's something there waiting to speak to you. That's something that has your name inscribed on it. It does not force itself upon you. All you have to do is let go. Just let go and allow yourself to, because you have to have the inner ear to hear. You have to have the inner eye to see. It is amazing that this part of us, that is that level of intuition, that is a direct connection to that infinite intelligence. And in order to hear it, it's like any other muscle. If you were to sit down for months and months and months, as some people become disabled and do, and then it takes a minute to get adjusted to walking again, the same thing when we don't use our God-given talents, skills, and abilities. When we make the decision to do so, it takes a minute. It takes a minute to condition ourselves to just get our bloated nothingness out of the way and allow the divine circuit to work. There's so many, many opportunities if you just begin to look around you. And it has nothing necessarily to do with age. Some people think that wisdom comes with age, and it's true that it does happen that way, but it's not always such an experience that one has to be in the autumn of their years in order to have an experience of wisdom. One young lady that I talked with at one time, when she was in her early teens, decided that she wanted to go to a very special middle school, you know, the school between, of course, obviously, elementary and high school. She lived in the Los Angeles area, and she wanted to attend a school that was located not even in her geographical location of the city, but it was in Hollywood. And her desire to go there was triggered by the fact that not only had celebrities gone there, and she was interested at the time in entertainment, so there was this school in North Hollywood, and such notable people as Carol Burnett and Nipsey Gaynor, Nanette Fabre, Yvonne DiCarlo, and many, many others had attended this particular middle school back in the early 20s, as far back as the 1920s. Each room at this particular middle school had a phone in the room that was directly connected with the office. They had a dark room for photography where they could make and edit film. There were flowers that were put in every room. Imagine the ambiance, the energy, the environment there. Well, this young girl wanted to go there, so she approached her mom and asked her for her permission to attend this school. Well, when the mother called, she found out that there was a waiting list that would take a year for the name. There were so many young people who wanted to attend this particular school that it would take a year to move from the bottom of the list to the top of the list. And so this young girl's mother called the school to inquire to see what would be necessary. And as I just mentioned, she found out the waiting period. But in the process of talking or having the dialogue with the school official, the official asked if they had had a conversation before, and the mother responded no, that they had not. And so, according to the story, the woman asked again to confirm that they had not talked, because something was so familiar here. And so she said to the mother, "Are you sure? This is so familiar. Are you sure that we have not talked about this before?" And the mother said, "No, this is the first time that we've had a conversation." And then, wham, the woman had the insight. And she said to the mother, "I know exactly what it is. Your daughter called here and asked exactly all the same questions that you have asked me today. She wanted to be prepared," she said, "when she approached you, that she could give you all the information you needed so that you could make an informed decision to help her to get into this school." And what the official said was, anytime a child of 13 can make that kind of decision and take that kind of action and be that progressive, her name is coming off of the bottom of this list and is going on the top. So here's wisdom that was given to this child to recognize that she already knew some of that information, the long waiting period, the many people that wanted to get there, the fact that she did not live in the district. All of those things would have stopped many other people from even considering the possibility. But we know the biggest challenge for each of us is to make a decision about what it is that we want to do. And once you make the decision, that to get your bloated nothingness out of the way. How foolish is it to make a decision about your life and all the years of your life based upon a lack of information or limited information? It's not that the thoughts don't come, they do, but it's what we do with the thoughts that matter in the end. Ben Underwood's mother knew that her son would be blind. she made a decision that rather than not remove his eyes and take a chance on losing her son at an earlier age, she decided to have the surgery and his eyes were removed. And once she had that decision, then the next step was to decide how to handle his life without eyes, which she did exceedingly well. What is it that you've been holding back on in your life? What is it that you've been fearful about? And remember, fear is what blinds us. I'm a storyteller, and part of the things about stories is it's the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves that paralyze us and prevent us from moving into that purpose for which we come in this lifetime. The good news is you can stop it. You can stop telling yourself the thing that paralyzes you and begin to turn it around to the polar opposite. Tell the story in the opposite way. Take out all the negative so that all that is left affirms who you really are, this marvelous, magnificent spiritual being that has come here to fulfill a life purpose. And as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take a step. When you take a step, the universe will move in to assist you in whatever it is that you want to do. And it's not based upon the fact that anyone has or has not done this particular thing before. It is based upon the fact that you, as an individual, have everything you need already on the inside of you awaiting your beck and call. It's not going to be forced on you. You know, there are universal laws at hand, and one of them is every seed must multiply after its own kind. You know, if you plant potato seeds, you get potatoes. In multiplication, you don't get tomatoes. So the seeds are all in the plant. Spiritually speaking, metaphysically speaking, your thoughts or your seed and the soul is the subconscious mind. And whatever you put into the subconscious mind, just like the soul, literally, it will give you exactly what corresponds to it. It has the intelligence to transform the information that you give it to make the thing that corresponds to it, but it is totally subjective to your words. Seed, soul, and plant. A plant is the same thing, the same concept as mother, father, child. Seed, soul, plant. So it is the plant represents the outcome, the offspring, the manifestation, the result, the effect of our thoughts. So whatever is happening or not happening, it is because you either have or do not have the mental equivalent of that. But the mental equivalent is available as soon as we discover and in Beauty Shop for the Soul. Remember those steps that you go through at the traditional beauty shop. You first do an assessment. You look at where you are. It may not be right or wrong, but it just is not where you want to be at any given moment. And you can move forward by recognizing where you are and that it's not attributable to anyone outside of yourself, not your mother, father, sister, brother, the government, not your neighbor, and not anything or anyone. And it's not to say that whatever's happening in your environment is not happening. It's your take on it. It's your spin of what it is. But you can turn that around just like going to headed towards Los Angeles and discovering a sign that says the seat. Oops, wrong way. Turn around and go back. In your thinking, you have that ability to do the exact same thing. You know, you can, faith is the thing that it's a tool. And in this tool, it gives form to the formless. So once you have, you know, in Abraham Hicks, maybe some of you have heard of it, they talk about a 17-second concept. In this 17-second concept, it ties in with the energy. Ernest Holmes was the founder of religious science. He's the one that said, we're all like radio broadcasting stations. And when we turn into, let's say hypothetically that faith is ABC, and you turn on the channel to ABC, well, where is NBC and CBS? They're there. They're there, but you have to tune in to them on a clear channel. And so let's say looking at that a little deeper. ABC is faith. NBC, hypothetically, is fear. CBS is doubt. And then you got cable stations, anger, resentment, regret. Whatever it is you want, what is manifesting in your life is where you've landed on a station, not clearly, meaning your perception. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Nothing is impossible. You get the form, the substance, by doing the assessment, by purifying the thoughts that no longer serve you. That's the shampoo, the second step in beauty shop for the soul, in the traditional beauty shop. They look at your head and your, they look at your scalp and your hair, and then they cleanse it. So you look at your life, and then you purify whatever has blocked, hindered, or delayed that process. And there are many activities that you can do to facilitate this process. You know, because as I mentioned earlier, whenever we have these thoughts that are out of alignment with the truth of who we are, that biochemical experience that I talked about a while ago, this energy gets locked into the tissues and cells of your body. And so sometimes when it seems like we're experiencing more frustration, more we're more lethargic, we're more anything that is less than who we intended to be, it is not your imagination. It actually is happening. And as it happens continuously and repeatedly over an extended period of time, it builds up. There are literally receptor sites that lock on the tissues and cells of your body that match the kind of thoughts and thinking and vibrations that you are putting out. So as Job said in the scripture, the thing I fear the most has come upon me. It will come upon all of us as long as we continue to have that focus. So if there's static in your life, you're on the wrong station. But you can turn the dial. You can tune in to your dream, to your vision. The scripture says, when the people have, without vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people perish. What's your vision? Call me. I'm Joanne, the host of Beauty Shop for the Soul. All you have to do if you're online is push number one, and we can talk for a few minutes and look at the issues of life. And let me see. I'm going to see if we can bring this call. 702, can you hear this call? You're on the air. Hello? Hello? 702? Okay, so we're going to go back. So I'm just knowing that something wonderful, marvelous, and magnificent is happening for anyone who is not able to get through on this particular call, that the fact that we have not communicated literally, there is an energy and essence that is operative right here and right now. So I'm decreeing and declaring a word that all things are working together for good, for the caller, for the listener, and for whatever the truth is that needs to be known or said or done. There's only one intelligence throughout the entire universe. It is everywhere present in and through and around all things. And so anything and everything that any of us need to know, say, do, or be is already known and said and done. It already is in the universal mind. It's already known. It's already said. It's already done. It's already available. So just be still and just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. And so next week, call back. And we'll talk about the experience that we had this week and the time in between this week and next week. But I want to just share one of my own personal experiences about an open door or a closed door. I had the experience of, as a young divorcee with three children, of not receiving child support and working two jobs as I was raising three children. And my utmost desire was to be a stay-home mom. I just wanted to be home when the children left for school. I wanted to be there when they returned, but I knew I could not afford to do that. And so I left prior to school time, and I got back home after the children got home. And then, unexpectedly, something happened. I got a new job, for which I was so excited because it paid more money, it had greater benefits, and I had just envisioned this wonderful life unfolding before us, the children and I. And so on this new job, there was a six-month probationary period. And during that six-month probationary period, there were no benefits. No annual leave, no vacation time, no medical insurance, no life insurance, just the monthly salary. And then, in the midst of this, early on, one of my children had an accident, and it required that I leave work and with my daughter, take her to the hospital. And at the hospital, we could already see that she had broken her arm. We just couldn't see how seriously it was broken. But it looked as though someone had put her arm through a wringer. And so in the mending of this, in the resetting and casting of this arm, they needed to see her a period of time that took eight visits back and forth to the hospital. All this time, my little mind was just, the monkey mind, as they call it, just chattering away about this job that I had been fearful that I might lose, and it was the best job that I had ever had. So I took her for the first two times. Then I arranged for a second person and a third person and a fourth person. Four of us actually took my daughter to these hospital visits. And as the time passed by, month after month, eventually it got to the end of the 6 months, and I was so eager and enthusiastic about this pay increase. I was going to attend school full-time, be refunded the money. So there, I was just in another world. And to my shock and dismay, they called me into the office about 15 minutes before the close of day at the close of the week. And to my great surprise, they told me that I was a high risk. I had taken off twice. And it was then that I realized I should have taken off eight times, not twice. It was my daughter. If I had to do it again, I would take off every time. I may even terminate that job myself. But they didn't. And I was quite okay with that because I just was in that place and space where I knew something wonderful was available. There was no closed door. It seemed to be closed, but I knew that it was open wider than ever. And so I made the decision that I would be the thing that I had envisioned. I would be a stay-home mom. And so I asked the universe for the opportunity to be at home for 1 year with my children. How I could be there when they left for school, and I could be there when they came back. How wonderful. What was not so wonderful was I didn't have a clue how that was going to be done. How could I? I had been working all this time, two jobs. So, anyway, but I know that when we decide what we want and then get out of the way, the universe will give us the how, the who, the when, the where, and all of those other elements that are necessary. And so before the end of the day that day, an idea came to me how to support my family. And the idea was, actually, did not know how I would fulfill this, but I was trusting that it could be done. And the idea was to make jewelry. And so the next day, I went down into the garment district, and I found the materials that were necessary to make the jewelry that was going to allow me the opportunity to generate funds to take care of all four of us. And so I did that. I found the materials. I came back home. I had a pattern for the jewelry that I wanted to make. But again, another surprise, I couldn't read the pattern. So I put it aside and decided I would do it independent of the pattern. And I worked on this project for a while that night. Nothing seemed to be fitting, so I put it aside with the thought it will come to me in my sleep. I put it aside, went to bed, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and the very first piece of jewelry that I made came true. And so I just want to say to you, be still and know when there's some desire of your heart, it has already been established. It's in a spiritual escrow account. It's waiting for you, but you have to identify yourself according to your divine purpose and not according to your lack and limitation, what seems to be missing, because ultimately there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing left out. But in the same way, I remember that when my oldest brother went away during the war, he had a bank account. And, of course, his signature was on the bank account. But while he was gone over those couple of years, he changed the way that his signature became fancy, and it had a little curlicues and flares on the end of it. And when he went to the bank to withdraw his money, they would not release it to him because they said the signature didn't match. He was the same person. Well, the same thing on a spiritual realm happens to us. We have a spiritual escrow account, and everything that you've ever dreamed of, thought of, desired to have, even those things that you didn't know that you had come here for, they're there for you, and they have your name inscribed upon them. But if you cannot identify yourself as who you are and whose you are, just like my brother, you would not be able to withdraw until you put the right signature there. And you know, the word name just simply means the nature of a thing. It is the nature. So when you're going to this presence and this power that's in the universe that's greater than you are, you do not go from lack and limitation. You go from the conscious realization of wholeness, wellness, oneness, and nowness. Because remember that when we have anxiety, it's about the future. When we have fear or anger, it's about the past. And either way, we're not in the moment. You have to be in the moment. And in the moment, it comes the realization that there's nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing left out. That when you were created in the image and likeness of this divine created intelligence, that you have everything in you in limitless potential and infinite possibility. It's all there, and it's all available to you. And if I could get in this story real quick about a guy that made his transition, and when he got to the pearly gates, and St. Peter met him there, and he took him on a tour in this place called heaven. And there was this humongous warehouse, had boxes beautifully wrapped with gold and silver and platinum. And as the guy looked and looked at all these things, and he saw names upon names, some of the names he knew, and he looked everywhere, and he began to wonder if there was such a gift for him. And as they walked up one row and down the other and back and forth, and he asked St. Peter, what are all of these gifts? Why are there so many? And St. Peter said to him, it's simply the unclaimed gift, where people cross over without ever claiming their divine nature, without realizing who they are and whose they are. Don't let that be you. Claim your divine heritage right now. You have on the inside of you anything and everything you need to be and do and have whatever it is that you want to be and do and have. And never forget, it is not you that does the work. It is that infinite intelligence in you, and it is sitting by eager and waiting for you to say, yes, 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 I'm ready. And so remember, the mouth and foot artist who paint beautiful drawings without arms, without legs, some with a brush in their mouth, some with it in their feet. Think about the Ben who, whatever it is, know that there's a presence and power in the universe that's greater than you are, and you can use it. I encourage you to use it. Call me next week and tell me what you thought about 646-200-4169. Give the number to your family and your friends. Let's look at a restless soul on the journey, the inward journey. I'm going to look forward to hearing from you next week. Take care. It's about time to close it up. I'll be listening for you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner, here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com. or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty shop for the soul.